A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
And now, coming to you live from atop the Lavender Town Radio Tower, it's the one, the only Pucko Podcast!
Hey Thatch, what's going on, man?
Oh, it's going alright. I'm just watching some Pokemon tournament, but it just feels like we're missing something, you know?
Yeah, you know, if only we had some large owl-based light fixture to help us see our inputs, you know?
Pokemon Underground Champions League, oh yeah.
Pucko!
Grab your friends, it's that time again. Listen to the show with the fun never ends. It's Pucko!
Pucko!
Oh yeah.
Pucko!
It's your host,
String of Death!
And welcome to the 226th episode of the Puckle Podcast. I am your host, Trainer Thatch, here today with my co-hosts,
Shamu.
It's Scissor Kick.
And we are here to bring you, like I said, another wonderful episode of the Puckle Podcast. Puckle, of course, stands for the Pokemon Underground Champions League, a nonsensical name we came up with in 2007. And we are more than just a podcast, though, if you are a first-time listener. Thank you for listening, first of all, making it like 2 minutes into the show. And also, you can check out PucklePodcast.com. We have a bunch of tournaments and stuff. Shamu and I are actually going to talk about some of that a little bit today. And we're just a community where people get together and we have fun. So, let's see. I guess we'll just kick off right where I always go, guys, and I'm going to ask you what you've been up to in Pokemon lately. And tell me why it's Pokken.
Shamu, you want to go first?
Yeah, I've been playing Pokken. That's pretty much it.
That's it?
Right now.
Yeah, we're going to talk a lot more about that today, right?
I've been improving that Raticate deck.
How's that been going?
It's actually almost done.
Do you have like a deck list?
No touches, making sure everything's good.
I'd be curious.
I don't have one made. I need to make one.
You should write up a deck list and send it to me because I'm gonna. So I'm near the end of a D&D campaign. So like every Wednesday, I get together and I play D&D with my friends, right? And so our campaign's ending, and I don't really want to start a new one. And so on campus though, at Ohio State, there's a Pokemon League. And so I was thinking about going to that because it's on like Thursday nights or something. And I know at these leagues, they typically do trading card game stuff versus like video game. I know people will play the video game there, but it's typically trading card games. And so I want to make a deck. And your Raticate deck seems pretty reasonable in price.
Yeah, like the most expensive card would probably be like a supporter and or like an EX or two, depending on what. That's like the only slot I don't have. Is I want like to find a powerful EX to run, or some powerful like something that can do good amounts of damage for cheap.
Yeah, I'd also be. I mean, I was also looking into this Bezequin deck that Jushiro is actually somewhat of a fan of, and which it doesn't even have any EX Pokemon in it. It's insane. And
yeah, like even if I had a basic or something, but just something to do a good amount of damage for that's consistent. I don't like Noctowl. Like it has to depend on something.
Mm-hmm.
I don't exactly care for that.
You should just go get what is it?
Like,
you should just go run Night March or something, Shamu.
Well, then I had to run a whole Night March and Raticate. Like, oh, I literally just want, like, a card I can kind of just splash in for damage.
Yeah, yeah, that's fine. That makes sense.
I'm looking at the Lugia, though. That Lugia EX.
Oh, the new one? Or... Wait, no.
The newer one. The newer one. The one that's, like, Evo Ball, but...
That... No, no, I think...
Like, times instead of plus or whatever.
I think that's the older... That's the older... Wait, which set are you thinking this Lugia is from?
Ancient...
Oh, you're thinking the Ancient Origins.
Origins,
okay.
I believe.
Yeah. Okay. Okay.
Yeah.
There's a newer one that's coming out.
Double colorless
in,
for like.
There's a new. There's a new Lugia coming out, I believe.
Yeah, at the break.
With the break. Yeah.
Let me find it real quick. I'm kind
of. Yeah, I know. I have one of those actually. I have one of those Lugias.
Because I was looking at the Lugia and/or the Tyranitar from Ancient Origins.
Yeah.
But the Tyranitar is just cost more. Like you gotta use the dark energy.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's from Ancient Origins. It's Arrow Ball, 20 times the number of energy cards on your opponent active. That's actually not that good. I thought it was on both. Okay, I don't know what I'm doing anymore. I really don't. That's a deep hurricane, though. So.
Yeah. All right, how about you, Scissor? What have you been up to in Pokemon since the last time we saw you, like, a year ago?
As far as being... real quick, I'm going to segue into something just mildly TCG-related. My house recently got damaged. This is not the Pokemon thing. I'm down in Louisiana, and so they had some flood damages and going on right now. But when I went to go salvage some of my stuff, I went and I found an original TCG box set. Just hidden, yeah, unopened and everything. It was a
it's unopened.
Yes, I don't know if you remember the Bodyguard box set with coughing on the cover. Yeah, I found one of those completely, like, the card is still wrapped in plastic, still has the little damage counters and everything.
Wow.
And so I've been, like, wrestling with the idea of maybe opening it, but I know I shouldn't. because when I was, I was probably my mid-teens, and I was like, I don't need Pokemon cards anymore, but, and I threw away my entire binder.
Oh, no.
With, like, thousands of cards, like, going all the way from, like, the original series through, like, the beginning of, like, the third generation of cards. And believe me, I regret it sorely. Like, I had the holographic Charizard, and I had, like, five different Scizor cards that I was super proud of. But it was just a lapse in judgment. And so this is kind of, like, all that's left of that. And all I can think about is opening that pack up and getting, like, that fresh card smell that I haven't had in like years.
Just go buy a pack of cards for $4 and you get the same smell.
Yeah, but this isn't. But that would be like a 20-year-old smell, like this one. this has been like aging like fine wine, Fetch. You don't understand. Like this,
I think it's gonna smell exactly the same.
Probably, but mentally it won't.
I think it'll smell exactly the same.
So yeah, that's been sitting out on my desk in my apartment, and I've just been kind of looking at it. Aside from that, I've been playing a little bit. Well, not this week, but the past couple weeks, I was playing Alpha Sapphire again, just getting kind of the run through in because I really really enjoy Gen 3, and I really liked what they did with the remake. And so I was like, I haven't played a Pokemon game in a while, so I'll. Drop in, do some different stuff with different teams. But that's really all game-related, because, Fire Emblem came out, and that kind of took over everything.
I haven't even beat completely.
No. Oh, dude, yeah, no, I just finished the second route, and I have, like, over 100 hours
I haven't even finished the first route. I'm, like, oh, so... Man. It's been so bad, like...
Oh, yeah,
so,
I'm on Birth right now. I did Conquest.
I talked about it in our live show for the Patreon patrons yesterday. I talked about it, like, there are just so many games that came out in, like, the past month.
Yeah, this
and
just
it was just like, it's just like, I'm so busy right now with games. Because all I had was, like, Pokemon. And then, like, I was just like, yeah, you know what, I'll get into, the live competitions and stuff and, build teams and everything so that I can have play points. So if I want to compete at Nationals, I can, you know what I mean? Then I was just like, and so that's happening. And then I'm like really busy with Pokemon, and then Fire Emblem drops. And I'm like, oh god, how do I do both of these? And then 2 weeks later, Twilight Princess HD drops. And I'm just like, okay, how do I handle all three of these? And then this past week, Pokken dropped. And I'm just like, I don't know how to balance all of these things. I can't play them all.
Yeah, and I've been, like, because I'm a big fighting game guy, which is the main reason why I'm here right now. So within the past couple months, and fighting games and RPGs are, like, my jive. So, like, within the past few months, you've had Street Fighter V come out, Pokken's coming out now, Fire Emblem came out a few weeks ago, Killer Instinct comes out at the end of this month. Bravely Second comes out.
Oh, that's true. That comes out next month, right?
Yeah, Bravely Second comes out next month. And I think there's something else even that I'm forgetting right now that just either just came out or is coming out. But it's like, it's been a really stacked stretch right here.
Yeah.
And like, I'm just trying so hard to keep up with it. God.
It's pretty bad. I mean, for myself, Pokemon-wise, what have I been up to? I've been up to a lot of things. I've been playing a lot of... So I've been playing both Little Cup and what else was it? Little Cup and VGC to get ready for the International Challenge and for the Prepare for Trouble tournament at Puckle. I've been playing some VGC, but I've been playing Little Cup. The only reason I've been playing Little Cup, it wasn't like as a confidence booster this time. It was literally because I was looking at it and then I saw there was a suspect test in Little Cup, and I'm just like, oh man, what's going on in Little Cup that there's a suspect test?
Yeah.
Well, because like I'm really big in Little Cup. If for our newer listeners, I'm a really big proponent of it, and I was top 100 for a while, and everything in the tier, and so I've dropped out of it a little bit, and I come back in when I want to have some fun or something like that, and I noticed they were suspect testing Diglett. This is literally the third time they've been trying to suspect test Diglett.
They've been after him for a while.
This is literally like the second or third time they've tried. And they tried doing it in different ways too. So like last time they didn't say like let's suspect test Diglett. They said let's suspect test Arena Trap, and I'm like, that means you want to get rid of Diglett because the only other person that can use that is Trapinch, and Trapinch is not a problem. And
no, he is not.
So in my personal opinion, Diglett's not broken in Little Cup. So I've been playing Little Cup so I can ladder up enough so I can go tell them that I think Diglett should not be banned.
You're fighting on Diglett's behalf.
I'm fighting on Diglett's behalf because Diglett shouldn't be banned from Little Cup. It doesn't make any sense. But the people that run Little Cup, in my opinion, are just like they get like very bored.
So there were people at Smogon who are assigned to different tiers.
Yeah, like, yeah. Different people are like mods of different tiers.
Oh, okay.
And so the people that run Little Cup, though, they just get, like, super bored. They literally had a suspect test to see what people think should be suspect tested. Like, I'm not even kidding. Because the meta's super balanced.
I remember that.
The meta's incredibly balanced. There's no reason to try to, like, take anything out or anything. Like, the last time they took anything out, I believe, was Sneasel. And that's literally it. The only... Like, I'm a big proponent. If you want to ban something, not Diglett, but Gothita... I think Gothita's a problem, but...
I was surprised they had Sneasel in there for any stretch of time.
yeah, Sneasel got... Well, Sneasel wasn't, like, overpowered. Uh-huh. That wasn't his problem. Like, you could handle Sneasel, but the problem was he over-centralized it. Because Sneasel has the... Like, when Sneasel was in it, he was literally the fastest Pokemon in Little Cup.
So which is a character that like, affected everyone else's team.
Everybody else had a Sneasel counter.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You had to run a Sneasel counter.
I can imagine, and he didn't get much of a boost from like Eviolite or anything, so I can kind of see him not being broken from that either.
Yeah, he wasn't broken, it was just everybody had one.
Mm-hmm.
And there are definitely, like, of the other things that are banned from Little Cup, I believe those should all be banned. I understand why they're banned. Mm-hmm. But Diglett is not one of those people. He is not on the same tier as Sneasel, he is not on the same tier as Yanma or Metatite, he is not on the same tier.
So. Metatite like a huge power. Had Metatite just
power. Metatite would make him is so broken in Little Cup.
Oh God,
it's so broken.
No. I feel like I have not been paying attention to Little Cup, and it's just been this mad little Mad Max situation going on.
It's actually a really fun meta to be like a part of, but
yeah, no, it's really cool. It's different. I appreciate that, like in you, just for like getting all the pokes that you never really see, and of course in OU and Ubers, like giving him a chance.
It's a lot of fun playing Little Cup, but it's just whatever. I'm done. We'll stop talking about Little Cup. There's plenty of other stuff to talk about today. But first, before we go into like the meat of what everybody's dying to hear from us, we will cut it over to the news because there is some big news to talk about today. So cue the epic music.
Live from the Lavender Town Radio Tower, this just in!
So in the news, let's do a couple quick small stories before we get into some of the big stuff that people probably want to hear us talk about. First of all, if you want to compete in the International March Challenge, the registration is now open. That starts at 7 o'clock Eastern on Thursday, March. What's Thursday's date today? The 24th or something? Yeah, the 24th.
Today's the 24th.
Yeah,
today's the 20th.
So the 24th is when the International Challenge starts.
Okay, I thought you were saying
at 7 p.m. Eastern. But you can register throughout the whole thing and everything. So, mm-hmm. But it's open. It's just VGC 2016 style, and you get 2,000 Pokemiles if you play. That's something, right?
Yeah.
It's not awful, but it's not anything great that anybody was like hoping for.
Yeah, you can use those.
you can definitely use those for things. Yeah.
Or something, you know, not like a plane ride or anything. Yeah, but you know. Yeah.
So you have also some more. I believe we got a trademark for the Pokemon Heroes games, the new mobile game that looks like it literally reminds me of the Pokemon trading figure game, and it's two additional trademarks, PFG, and it's unclear what is the first one. There's I believe. There's just been a load of trademarks. There have been a lot of trademarks for this game. So nobody really knows what it's called. I think they're calling it Co-Master or something like that.
I'm still confused as to what exactly it is because it's I remember like, it was...
I don't think we know what it is.
It was first announced a couple weeks ago and like I was on here, but my friend sent me a link and he's like, yo, check this out. I'm like... And I watched it and it's just... what did I just watch? I don't know what this is. Like, it looks like, you know, a trading card. Like,
I think it essentially just, yeah.
It looks like the trading figure game, like, a lot.
As far as I can tell, yeah, that's what I think it's pretty much based off of. Yeah. It's just, like, you just try to beat all your opponents' Pokemon. Literally, that's all it is. As
yeah,
far
I'm
just what they kind of make it down. If they overrun the opponent's area, but I assume it just means, like, either you have to move a certain way, like, move across the board, or just beat all their Pokemon. It's still vague, but it has some sort of like capture the flag, I guess.
I don't know. It looks interesting. I want to see more on it before anything else.
Yeah.
Before we say anything else. If you have a Nintendo Badge Arcade and you are in Japan, you can get some cool Easter egg Pokemon things. If you're into that.
No, I could be into that, you know.
I mean, I played Badge Arcade more than I'm proud to say I did. And let's see. I think that's it other than the big news that's going on right now. Oh, also if you're in the UK, there is actually a distribution going on at Smith's Toy Stores for Hidden Ability, Articuno, Zapdos, and Moltres, which is actually really cool. I think only two of them are good because I think you get Snowcloak, Articuno, which is meh. Because Hail's not very prominent, but you get Static Zapdos, which is kind of cool.
It's Zapdos.
That's really good because Zapdos uses a physical wall. So
yeah, Static's a really. I mean, it's a physical wall typically, but if you're going to switch in anyway on a physical move or something, that's 30% chance of paralysis
or contact move.
It should be mentioned.
Contact really move.
Yeah, and then Flame Body is Moltres's. Hidden ability, which is really cool. It's also being given away in the GameStops in Sweden and Norway. So that's pretty cool.
They don't have any kind of you know, static or flame body equivalent for ice types. I never really even thought about that.
No, I mean, freeze is such a horrible condition.
Yeah,
let's
say that's like super. Well,
I would want that ability just because it's like 30% to freeze if you touch me. Like
yeah, like well, is freeze even as good? Like freeze, like
freeze is pretty good. If you don't have a fire type move on that Pokemon, freeze is really good because it's 20% to unfreeze every turn.
Okay, yeah, that's okay. I was thinking. I think I just had good luck in the past because I've like, man, freeze is has been pretty generous to me for the past couple of years. Whenever I've had to deal with
it, it's pretty bad when it happens.
It's not like the nightmare it was in Generation 1 and 2.
Yeah. God. Where it was impossible to unfreeze, like ever.
Yeah, Generation 1, literally, once you got frozen, it was you lost. It was confirmed, like that, like GG, it's over.
Yeah, no. Well, thankfully, Game Freak has been wise enough not to add any moves in that just cause freeze.
Yeah, like the Blizzard Nice Beamer there. Let's just leave those.
Just leave the chance of freeze there. You know what I mean? Okay, so the big news that everybody wants us to talk about. Is probably this Pokemon Go footage that was shown off at, I believe, it was shown off in the South by Southwest convention in Austin, Texas. So, I believe John Hankey of Niantic was actually giving the presentation. You can actually see there's like a minute worth of footage for you to watch. Nothing too terribly exciting, I think. There's definitely a lot of people freaking out and saying it's AR. And I mean, like, in the loosest term of what AR means, like augmented reality. Yes. Okay. But it's just like, it's nothing like anybody thought it was going to be. They're just like, Pikachu's going to be peeking out behind a trash can. Yeah. And just like, no, it's probably going to be a Pokemon sitting in the center of your screen and you have your camera on and you're going to be looking through it. And it's going to be dumb.
Yeah, like I was saying a minute ago, like I was kind of annoyed with like the trailer they showed because it was just so robust and just like, oh, this looks great. Everybody get excited. Oh, look, everyone's going to be chasing Mewtwo and like Times Square. Like it's impossible to get something like that on a phone. Like I was saying, like they've done some cool stuff with AR on the 3DS at launch and all that. But like, you know, it's a phone platform. Like it's hard to get like that centralized technology on every, you know, every platform they're going to release this on.
Yep.
And have it work well and everything. And so they have to basically have the default settings for anything that's going to run it be relatively low just so everyone can actually use it and they can actually make money off of this. Because if they limit it to like being a really strong app that like can only run on specific technologies, like they're not going to make any return on it.
Also, it should be noted that the augmented reality scene that people are going to be talking about doesn't actually look like it's using a background of any real place that exists. It's definitely a 3D model place behind the Pokemon.
In which it could be a placeholder, which is what I'm kind of
hoping. I agree. Yeah. It could be a placeholder. Yeah. I don't want to say it's not a placeholder or anything, but I think it's worth noting that it wasn't true augmented reality that we saw there at all. And what's really cool, actually, is if you see before he goes into the battle with the Ivysaur, it very much looks like Ingress. Mm-hmm. And I think that's really cool. Just like, I don't know if either of you have played Ingress.
Yeah, I'm not really familiar with it. I know that's like Niantic's other
game. Yeah, that's Niantic's other game. But if you play, like, go download Ingress and you'll understand. You'll be like, oh, wow, this looks exactly like that screenshot from Pokemon Go. And the overworld map, at least. And it's really cool. Like, maybe you could see Pokemon on the overworld map, which would be cool. Just like you could see portals in Ingress. You definitely saw some badge symbols as well in there, or gym symbols in there, which is really cool. So, I mean, we knew gyms were going to be in there, but it's really cool to see that the gyms are going to be very visible like that.
Yeah, actually in there,
I'm very interested to see what's going on here. I mean, I was really hyped when the game came out, but there's been so little news, and, like, this doesn't get me hyped. Like, it's been 6 months since they've announced it, and I haven't heard anything. And this is the first inkling I get of any gameplay. I'd really like to see some real gameplay or something. I mean, we're going to know more about Sun. I feel like we're going to know more about Sun and Moon before we know anything more about Pokemon Go.
Yes, if this fails, you have Sun and Moon. Hey, there you go.
I'm just very interested to see how it works out. I mean, the good thing about Pokemon Go, the one thing that but the thing that I'm excited for in Pokemon Go is that we're going to be seeing Pokemon Go as a means for bringing people back to the franchise. You know what I mean? Like, yeah, I'll be able to go and see some of my play with some people that haven't played Pokemon in 10 years, and they'll come and play Pokemon with me. You know?
Yeah, I've had friends who have not touched a main series game in years and years and years, and I said, "Oh, have you seen like the Pokemon Go trailer?" And they look at that like, "Oh, when does that come out?"
Yeah.
And but that, like, now, like, depending on how it actually, the finished project actually looks, like, this could be, like, you know, kind of a big, just dud.
But I don't think the Pokemon company will let it be a dud.
Yeah, exactly. It will be a dud. I think it'll be, like, disappointing if you have your expectations too high, really. Like, I think it'll be a functional game.
I mean, if you go to the Pokemon Go subreddit or something, you'll definitely get those feelings of people overhyping it.
Yeah, no, I got the feeling immediately, like, guys, remember, this is a mobile game, and mobile games are, like, disappointing 99% of the time. Like,
I'm very excited by the concept. I'm excited by the concept that I could like, carry around a party of Pokemon on my phone and then play against people. And that to me is very exciting. And that, just because, I mean, I already carry around my 3DS with me everywhere anyway, but it would be very exciting to be able to do that and be like, hey, you have your phone, hey, you have Pokemon Go, yeah, let's battle or something like that, right? And that's very interesting to me. I'm interested to see more of the mechanics, if whether it stays true to the actual franchise or if it's like Pokewalker battles.
Yeah, I hope it's like more legit battles, because it'd be kind of a dud like if it wasn't. Although to be fair, that might be a little hard for people who've been out of the loop for a while. All of a sudden, although it is just Gen 1 Pokemon, so
we don't know that it's just Gen 1 Pokemon.
True.
That's all they've shown so far, and I mean, I wouldn't be surprised, but it's this year has very much been, like, in all the media we've seen in the past 6 months for Pokemon, if it's not for, like, Pokemon Sun and Moon and stuff, it's very much so based on the original 151, because it is the 20th anniversary, which makes sense.
Yeah, exactly. Like, it's their time.
You definitely get that air, like, of, I think I've mentioned this on the show before, but in the Catholic Church, they had these commercials for a while, trying to bring people who, like, strayed from the Catholic faith back to church and stuff. And it was called Catholics Come Home. Like, at the end, it was just like, Catholics Come Home. So all of the commercials I've been seeing, like, for Pokemon in the past 6 months, I just can't help but thinking of
Pokemon fans come home.
You know what I mean? Stop. And that's
we
all
know
I can
you've been away for a while, but please, we got, like, I know you're scared because there's like 600 new ones that you have never heard of now at this point, but, like, we'll just cut them off for now. You don't have to think about them. It's fine. We just own them brief, like, just for the time being.
That's really how I feel. That's how I feel right now. And it's working. There are definitely a lot of people hyped about it. I mean, absolutely. The number one commercial, like, on YouTube or something from the Super Bowl was the Pokemon commercial on YouTube or something like that. So
that was really cool.
I mean, Pokemon's definitely making a good comeback this year. And this is definitely the first step in that. I mean, Pokemon Go is, like, the big thing that's going to bring back the casual fans.
Yeah. The state of the league is strong.
Yeah. It's gonna bring back a lot of casual fans. Yeah. And, I mean, that's good for us, too. More people listen to us then. So.
Yeah, I guess.
I mean, whatever. And so, but let's kick it on over to some Puckle news, because there are a couple of things we need to mention. First being the UUTC's over. The UUTC's over. Geo has beaten Winmore, so congratulations to Geo for doing that.
Way to go, Geo.
And then but both of them get some selection of prizes. I never put them up like I was supposed to. The PFTT, or Prepare for Trouble tournament, however, is starting up tomorrow with the first rounds. I think about 14 people signed up, right, Shamu?
Yes, I believe so.
Yeah, 14 people signed up, so that's going to be a lot of fun. There are some prizes for that, just for the winner, though. What we got, actually, were these really cute Mineman Plusle plushes. Because this is our VGC-style tournament, so it's a doubles battle, so we thought
That is precious.
It would be, yeah, right? It's just like a Plusle and a Mineman. You can win that if you win the Prepare for Trouble tournament.
It's going to be kind of cool. What about Pokemiles?
We don't give out Pokemiles, unfortunately. So, we just give out plushes that you can, like, put on your desk and stuff, you know?
Oh, Jurats. Oh, man. I was really hoping I could buy some Everstones.
Oh, man. Also, if you are a big fan of our Chatbox meetups that we've been doing every month on the second Monday of the month, this is the first month where we're doing the third Friday of the month. Maximus is going to be leading the Chatbox meetup over there. It's actually this Friday, the 25th of March. So if you haven't already, check that out. Yeah, check out a Puckle meetup, because maybe you can't meet up with a chat box, on Mondays or something. That's fine. Go on Friday. It's going to be great. It'll be a good time. Maximus will have some of the shiny Raikou. He will have some of the 6 IV Dittos to give away. Oh, yeah. So, it's the shiny Raikou from the Gen 4 event.
Oh, I remember that. Yeah, that was the, Oh, yeah, it was from, like, the HeartGold SoulSilver.
Yeah, somebody donated to us a bunch of the distribution cartridges from GameStop. Nice. So we have a bunch of those Raikou for this month and next month. And then probably the month after that, we'll switch to something else. But
I was already thinking about stopping by, but now I definitely will.
You can stop by the Chatbox meetup, you know, Scissor, and you get yourself one of those.
Well, I also really need a Ditto, because I'm really bad at getting those.
So, yeah, if you need any of those things, PokoPodcast.com/chat. You can check that out this Friday. Also, the chat box is, like, always up anyway, so you can come by and talk. I actually got to sit down and talk with a bunch of people last Friday. It was a lot of fun.
Yeah, so, that's cool.
It was a good time. So, let's see. I guess that's it for the news. We're going to take a short break here, and then we'll come back at you guys with the topic. Hey, it's Thatch, and I wanted to let you know how you can improve your Puckle experience. First, you can come to PucklePodcast.com, where we have a chat box and forums where you can talk to many other Pokemon fans who also listen to the show. You can keep up to date on the latest Puckle news by following us on our Twitter, liking our Facebook page, subscribing to our subreddit, and following our Tumblr. Don't forget to review us on iTunes, though. It helps us find more people to come and hang out with us, and we can have larger tournaments because of it. And if you're feeling generous, we also have a Patreon, where you can donate in return for some awesome rewards. And as always, thanks for listening, and for all the support you give us. Catch you guys on the flip-flop. And onto the topic. Our topic today is Pokken Tournament, the game that just came out the other day. And I know you're all waiting to hear what I have to say about it. And I guess Shamu and Scissor can say things about it, too.
Oh, wow. Okay.
I guess I'll let you. I'll let you do it today.
Oh, thank you so much.
Rude.
But, I appreciate it.
But Pokken Tournament is a fighting game where you can play as a Pokemon. If, if you've been living under a rock or you don't know what Pokken Tournament is for some reason, it's a fighting game. You pick a Pokemon, you get to punch things with it, or shoot laser beams the chandelier with it, and...
Yay!
It's, I mean, I have some good things to say about it. I personally have never played a fighting game prior to this. Like, oh, okay. in any, like...
Competitive sense.
Caring sense.
Okay, yeah.
I mean, I've played Smash Brothers. I don't think you can call that, like, a true fighting game in that
oh,
sense.
Oh, man, you'll get people, like, on both sides tearing you apart for that. Because, no matter what you call Smash Brothers, people are going to hate
you. There's a good chunk of the community that doesn't think it is and a good community that thinks it is. And I don't know. I know there are people that take Smash Brothers very seriously.
Oh, yeah, it's absolutely a very competitive game, but it's hard to, like...
It's hard to compare it to, like, Street Fighter or Tekken.
Yeah, it's not like a traditional fighting game. Like, it's a fighter in some sense, but it's not, like, in the same vein as anything else, really.
Yeah, and so, this is, like, the first, like, quote-unquote traditional fighting game I've played. Because I definitely don't think it's super traditional either, because there aren't... How many 3D fighters are there? Because this is a 3D fighter.
Major ones, it's basically Tekken, Soul Calibur.
Does Tekken do 3D fighting?
Yeah, so it's like a 3D plane, so you can like sidestep and all that. If you want to count, also they're very different things, but the Naruto and like Dragon Ball Z things, which they aren't like, they're a lot more casual isn't the word I'm looking for. They're a lot more like they're less directed in like their combos and all that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
It's a lot more about like actually like kind of flying around and doing like, the zone game, from what I understand. And that's kind of what Pokken pulls its neutral game from.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
it's very interesting. I like the way it plays. Mm-hmm. I haven't played too much of it as of yet, because it's only been like 3 days, and I've only really played it for like one of those days, and because hashtag adult life, and
God,
right, and so I haven't played it too much, but I've played a significant amount of time with Machamp, and I've played a significant amount of time with Blaziken. Neither of which I have heard anything good about. So,
I haven't heard like, a lot of people playing.
Actually, I think Blaziken's pretty good. Not as good as like certain other ones, but Blaziken's got good like power and like rush down ability. I guess
Starting with Machamp and then moving to somebody who could actually like move around the field.
Mm-hmm.
It definitely felt. It was like training with ankle weights on. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because Machamp is slow. I mean, he definitely hits hard. But Blaziken was the first character I started caring about, like, with technique and getting, like, button combinations and stuff down. Mm. You know
what
I mean?
At first glance, like, Blaziken seems really reminiscent of, like, Chun-Li in Street Fighter. Like, he has, like, the lightning legs and everything.
Sure, I agree.
I can see him being, like, really good at, like, rush... Like, again, like you said, rush down. Like, he's probably, like, very, like, based on, you know, block strings and all that. And just kind of, like, how long can you block it? Because, like, I don't know. I haven't had much hands-on time with it. But, like, how, like, prominent is, like... low moves and high moves and all kind of
okay
stuff.
So like you have these two phases, right? I don't know if this is like typical for regular fighting games. You have
multiple rounds, like
during a round, right, you go from the 3D point of view to like the 2D point of view.
Yes.
And so if we're talking about what were we talking about, we're talking about blocking. I mean, well, they do get around blocking with grabs and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, that's what they do. And so you go from like 3D to 2D mode, though, if you hit like somebody hard enough with a combo or
yeah, and then if you hit them with like either like a throw or like a zone move, like each character. So is like specific for each character that has like certain moves that basically swap phases.
So it's pretty much I would say it's the same. It would be like this same kind of like. Archetype of move. You know what I mean? Like if you grab somebody, you're definitely switching phases.
Yeah, there's like analogs for each character that
if you do a grab no matter what character you're going to switch phases.
And no, that's not true actually.
Am I wrong?
You're wrong. No.
Shots fired
right now and it's not
I was wrong.
Yeah.
Who are you grabbing with? Who is your character that you're grabbing?
Charizard?
Were you Charizard or
I'm Charizard. Charizard is Lucario. I'll test it out.
I mean, I could
like,
be wrong.
Item to this real quick just to make sure. I could be. It's literally what it is. It's a strong enough move.
Yeah, it's just you have to like hit somebody hard enough. It's just like
certain moves will automatically do it. I believe. I think that.
But for the most part, it's based on like
somewhere, but like it. Pretty much, yeah. Like Chandelure's forward Y, like an automatic phase switch.
Okay. That's so there isn't necessarily like high and low attacks, are there?
There are when you get into the dual phase, which is like the 2D phase. Okay. You can do high and low attacks. Then it gets to very. It feels very Street Fighter. You know what I mean?
Yeah. When I watch it, it looks pacing wise.
Okay, that might be right. What you're saying with the grabs.
That's what I thought.
Because I was in like the move train.
Mm-hmm.
Training thing, and it wasn't doing it, but now I'm in training mode itself, and it is.
Okay.
Yeah.
I don't know. It could be different. It could be just damage output.
It looks more akin, like, at least in, like, pace, like, to, like, what I would imagine a 2D Tekken would look like.
Mm-hmm.
Which makes sense, because it's, like, the same developers
behind it. Absolutely, right? It's Bankai
Namco. It naturally makes sense. It's a little weird, because I'm definitely a much bigger proponent of like the 2D. Like that's all I play really. Like I'll dabble in a little bit of Tekken here and there, in Soul Calibur 2, but like I mostly stick to like the 2D fighters. And so like it's weird because the zoning phase is kind of like a turnoff for me in a sense.
Yeah.
Because I've never really gotten to like the Naruto games or anything like that, which that is basically kind of like a riff of.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just. I don't know. It's weird. It's unique, at least. I can give it that much. And so long as, like, a lot of the fundamentals are still there whenever you are in the 2D mode, like you said, like, it has high lows and grabs.
Yeah.
That's cool. From what I understand, it's also, they don't have special moves, but they have, like, command normals, which is basically, instead of doing, like, you know, like, a quarter circle forward or anything like that, you basically hold forward or back or up.
Yes.
Like,
special move.
Yeah, which is cool, because it is definitely made to be, like, a gateway fighting game for a lot of, younger audiences.
I feel like... If I were to say what Pokken is to the fighting game genre, I'd say that's what it is to the RPG genre, like the original Pokemon games. Like Pokemon is like a watered down RPG, and it's very easy to get into, but there's like a lot of depth, right? We have EVs, we have IVs. There's a huge competitive scene, and so I feel very much the same way about Pokken.
Yes.
I feel like it's very easy to get into, but there's definitely a lot of depth there. I mean, if you're into fighting games, absolutely.
I think. That's kind of funny whenever you look at it, because you see people like ripping. I don't know if you saw the IGN review for this when they said it had overwhelming mechanics and everyone is just tearing them apart because it's like relative to like other fighting games. This is, you know, pretty simple in a lot of ways. Not to despair. Not that's a bad thing. Like it still like has its own mechanics.
It feels a lot like Smash Brothers. I'm not gonna lie.
It incorporates a lot of things too. Like it has assists, so like, you know, assists like in Marvel vs. Capcom, or it has like the 3D phase, which is a lot like, you know, like I said, the Naruto games. Then you have the 2D phase, which is more akin to something like, you know, Street Fighter or Mortal Kombat. Which is cool. I like that it's a combination of things, and by virtue of it being like a gateway game, like people can kind of see which of those, you know, aspects of it speak to them, and see like what, you know, would be like their best like prospect as far as actually getting into like the wider fighting game community.
Yeah,
so it's cool.
I don't know. I mean, I can't say anything about any of the characters being good or anything. It's a little too early. I mean, it's been 3 days.
Yeah,
I don't think anybody could really tell you that.
Yeah.
And unless you've sat there and you haven't slept for 3 days.
I know Weavile's fairly good, though.
Yeah, who looks strong at the start. But the thing is, like, no one's going to really know who's, like, the strongest until, like, a couple months from now.
That is true.
Once they start seeing more tournament results and like the online, like
it
gets a little more, you know, sorted out.
I think that's a good segue, though. We should definitely talk a few minutes at least about how this feels like it's being forced into the fighting game community. You have it going to Evo this year. It's going to be, and then Nintendo's like, well, even if we can't be in the fighting game community, we're going to do it ourselves.
Yeah, we're going to force our ways in,
And we're just going to do, we're going to have it at the national championships for Pokemon, and we're going to have the world championships for Pokemon.
Yeah, they are marketing the hell out of this by virtue of just putting it in different tournaments and putting it in front of a lot of people.
I'm really surprised at like how much they're trying to put it in.
It's interesting because like I'm pretty in tune to like the fighting game community. Like I try to stick around and try to like, you know, stay in tune what's going on with Street Fighter and like Marvel and all that kind of stuff. I mean, it could also just be like a vocal minority, but there was a lot of resistance when it was announced for Evo, because it's kind of blatantly being put there because of like money from Nintendo.
Yes, absolutely.
And like people were mad because it's like knocking other things, you know, out.
What's getting knocked in place of that, do you
know? Street Fighter 4.
Really? Street Fighter 5 just came out, right?
But the thing is,
it's broken.
It's not even broken, actually. It's like people are complaining about Street Fighter 5 because it's a lack of single player content right now. Like mm-hmm. they basically put out a bare bones multiplayer game to have it out in time for like a tournament season.
Yeah.
And right now they're working on patching it. But people still stick to Street Fighter 4. People stay play Melee, and people like Street Fighter 4, and this is like the first year 5's been out, and like not everyone is going to gravitate towards it immediately, because mm-hmm. mechanically they changed a lot, and it feels more akin to like a Street Fighter 3rd Strike or something like that than it would like Street Fighter 4. Mm-hmm. And so you had the people who would stick with Street Fighter 4 over 5, and people who would play both 4 and 5. And the fact that 4 has been the main event at Evo for the past, I don't even know how many years, and every year it gets at least like 250,000 views on the stream for its finals. Like,
well, why would they knock that instead of something else?
Exactly. Why would they, you know, not knock that and like even, you know, something else like one of the like anime games, which, you know, anime games still get like a ton, like, you know, or yeah, even yeah. like, oh, you yeah. know, you know, Guilty Gear and stuff like that still gets like a good viewership. It's hard to like pick something that they would have to knock. And in the scheme of things, it makes sense to knock one of the duplicates.
Yeah, right.
It's hard. I guess they chose, you know, Smash. I mean, they chose Street Fighter 4 to get rid of over like Melee, because Melee makes up like maybe even a bigger proportion of the community than 4 would now that 5 is out, you know?
Yeah, that makes sense.
So it kind of makes sense, but at the same time, like, there are still a lot of people playing that game, and that just kind of rubbed people the wrong way. I remember when I was playing...
It definitely feels like Nintendo's just pushing it really hard.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Like, when I jumped in the Street Fighter V beta, you can choose, like, your own tag and all that, and, mm-hmm. like, they get erased for the actual game, you have to make them all over again, but I played against someone whose tag was SF4 died for Pokken. just some guy running around online with that name. I was like, oh, man. So yeah, there's some, you know, disdain with it because of that. I feel like it might fade away. I can already feel it's kind of dissipating a little bit by virtue of people actually like seeing it. And there's a lot of people who don't like Smash because of the whole idea, like, yeah, that's not a real fighting game, blah 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 blah.
Yeah. Fighting game community sounds like a bunch of horribly uptight people.
It's mostly like it's vocal minority.
Yeah, that's true.
I've been to Evo and stuff like that, and they're actually like the coolest people around. Like the people who actually travel to events are really cool. It's the silent majority who just watch. They call them stream monsters who just watch. You know, they just watch the tournaments online.
I'm very interested to see how the Pokken stream goes during Evo. I'm very curious.
Yeah, yeah. Especially if it's not on like subscriber only mode, which it probably will be.
Yeah, it probably will be.
Even then, you'll still have people because you know But some people have started to come around to it a little bit now. They're seeing it in action, and they say like they can tell it's more of like a traditional fighter than something like Smash is, so they're kind of giving it a little more.
I mean, it's definitely closer to a fighting game than Smash is.
Yeah, it absolutely is a fighting game. It's just kind of a mishmash of fighting game like mechanics.
I think that's fun though. I mean,
yeah, it's cool. It's original, which I can appreciate. You know, and it's a really crowded market right now because fighting games have been coming back in a big way. You know, because you have like Street Fighter coming out. Street Fighter came out this year. Killer Instinct Season 3 is coming out like this month. Guilty Gear and Blaze Blue have new iterations coming out in the summer. Mortal Kombat is, you know, just
they do.
Nothing.
Ooh,
yeah. So,
I played
like,
Blaze Blue a bit, so that's why I was like,
oh yeah, no, I love Blaze Blue. Yeah, they have like a completely new game coming out.
I've been playing the one for Chrono Phantasma Extended, the one I've been playing.
Yeah, they're releasing Central Fiction in the summer, I believe. Okay. So yeah, yeah.
You
so
that.
Absolutely, and if you're interested in that, I would look at Guilty Gear too. But back to the Pokken. It's okay. A very crowded time to jump into fighting games, like, yeah. As far as, like, a new IP. And so I guess it's good for them to differentiate themselves. So, I mean, you can't really fault them for, you know, being...
It's an interesting idea. I'd like to see it develop in a year or two and see where it's at. It just feels very rushed. Like, I didn't expect Pokken to be at EVO this year.
Yeah,
I expected it to be at EVO next year. You know
I expected
it
to be, like, a side tournament, or, yeah, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
like,
I know exactly what you mean. I didn't expect it to be a main event this year, because the game just came out. I know they've been pushing it real hard. Like, last year they had, we were talking before the show, about how Justin Wong was at Worlds last year playing Pokken for their pre-release tournament.
He's a huge fighting game player. Like, he gets into a little bit of everything. He's really well known for Marvel vs. Capcom 3 and Marvel vs. Capcom 2 and all that. Like, he won Evo for Marvel vs. Capcom 3. Was it 2014, I believe, if I'm remembering correctly. But and he plays Street Fighter and Killer Instinct, and he gets his hands in a bunch of different things, and like, he's really well known in the community, and so like, that's kind of them like trying to branch off into like the fighting community like proper, by like getting people like him involved. And like, I've seen like people like Combo Fiend, who works at Capcom, like checking that Pokken event, stuff like that. So, you know, they're trying to get, you know, reach that community.
It's very interesting that like they're trying to branch into that community when there's such a, like, a large Pokemon community right now.
Yeah, exactly. Well, that's the thing. And even if the fighting game community doesn't, like, embrace it, like, the Pokemon community...
Oh, it definitely will. It definitely will, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Because it's happening at Nationals this year, it's happening at Worlds. I wouldn't be surprised if in next year's, like, run-up to Worlds, at every regional event, you have Pokken, you know?
Yeah, oh, absolutely. And like,
I wouldn't be surprised if that happened at all. And you can get champion, your quote-unquote championship points from playing Pokken and stuff like that. And, you know, Evo would be part of that maybe as well. You get some points from that as well. And I don't know. I'm very interested to see how if they change the tournament structure for that. I'm really into just, like, their tournament structure in general. It's very interesting to me, but...
Yeah, it's cool. I will say, I worry about it in the long run as far as consistently landing at tournaments for years to come, because the setup you need to run, like, a PvP, versus...
Oh, yes.
At tournaments is ridiculous, because you need two Wii Us. I believe, like, there's a couple different variations of the setting.
There are three different variations. Let me see if I can pull it up real quick.
Yeah, so you can pull it up. But
there are three different variations of being able to hook up together. I know exactly what you're talking about. It's very convoluted.
It is. And if you don't...
It is.
While you're looking that up, like, if you don't use the that setup, running a local match just on one Wii U, like, one person has to use his gamepad because of the way that...
It still cuts it down to 30 frames.
Yeah, and it cuts it down to 30 frames. And, like, I will tell you right now, no tournament will use that ever. Like, that is not viable because of how important, like, frames are in fighting games. Like,
yes. Absolutely.
People go in and specifically do the math for, like, Street Fighter and Killer Instinct and, like, Guilty Gear and all that, and, like, figure out, okay, this move is active for 3 frames. It has, like, 4 frames of startup, you know? And that is a huge part of the game, like, as far as, like, knowing what you can punish and how, like, the fundamentals of the game work. And whenever you have a game that's not running at the full 60 frames, and all of a sudden all this frame data becomes, like, just pointless.
Useless.
Yeah. So I've got them pulled up finally. So we have three different ways to connect two Wii Us together to have full 60 FPS Pokken on both TVs. Both TVs because you need two TVs. So for all of them, you need two TVs, two Wii Us, and two copies of Pokken. And so version A is you need to have for two of these, you need to also have the Wii U LAN adapters. Because hashtag Nintendo doesn't put USB port or Ethernet ports in their machines. Because God knows why. So instead you have to use a USB port to plug in your converter to a Ethernet. And so you plug that in. So for one of them, you use the LAN cable and you plug it into a router, and then you can just use a home internet connection or just a home like network connection for it, essentially. Yeah. And you could run it, you know, you don't have to be within Ethernet cable reach, right? Another one is to do it over the wireless internet, which essentially just says, hey, hook up both of your Wii Us to the internet and play online. And the other one, it says you can do a direct connection by plugging both Wii Us in together through an Ethernet cord. Just one Ethernet cord, and it's just a pain, right? Also, let's go forward with it. You were talking about how it was hard to practice with it, right? In PvP mode. And it's also really hard to do it, like, the official way, because they came up with an official Pokken tournament controller, this Hori pad, right?
Oh, yeah.
The Hori pad.
Yeah, we were discussing this on the live show yesterday as well. And, they are sold out everywhere. Nobody pre-ordered it, and it doesn't exist. And this is the official controller for this, and if you don't have it, you can't practice to be able to do it in, like, the professional setting. And it is a different controller than anything else. If you read reviews.
It looks more like a fight pad, more of a traditional fighting.
It's more of a traditional fight pad, and that's what they're using for this, and if you don't have it, you can't practice the right way.
Oh God.
And it you can I can't go buy one right now. I mean, I could go buy one for twice MSRP on Amazon right now, but that
if you want to be one of those guys.
Yeah, well, I'm not going to do that. I mean, I could see it being more like the GameCube adapter for the Wii U.
Yeah,
and, you know, in like a year you'll get it, you know, but right now it's really frustrating. You can't actually practice the way you want to practice.
Oh, that's kind of surprising they wouldn't like prepare for that. I mean, I guess
they
always
do that though. Look at the Amiibo, look at the GameCube controller adapter that existed, and
the original Wii.
Yeah, the original Wii. Yeah.
Although I feel like some of that was artificial, but at the same time, like, yeah.
Well, they're all, a lot of these things are probably artificial. Let's be
like,
completely.
I feel like this Hori pad though is legitimate because, like, honestly, Hori, I don't know if Hori has like the facilities to produce like as many pads as they would need for like.
Yeah, that's true. I agree.
First, like a first party like Pokemon game, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Even if it's like a fighting game, it's still Pokemon game, and it has a lot of people buying it. So, I mean,
yep, and also the problem was they didn't announce that they were going to be selling it until like a month before it came out.
Yeah,
and so like I had already pre-ordered Pokken at that point, and so I just never went back in to pre-order this controller.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? I was just expecting them to have some, and they didn't. They didn't have any.
Oh no, you never expect.
That's just a really bad mentality. I'm like the person that's just like the pre-order culture. And first of all, is really bad. But the fact that, like, we're in the pre-order culture and I don't pre-order things.
Yeah, the fact you're in a pre-order culture and, like, games are legit being released unfinished.
Yeah.
And it's just, like, it's just not a, like, no one wants to pre-order anymore. Like, people just feel like they have to because of, like, the incentives that they keep adding to things.
Mm-hmm.
It's a rough time.
Yeah, it's whatever. Something will happen. This is a gaming industry-related problem, and I am not here to discuss that.
that's a wider issue, yeah.
We're going to talk about Pokemon punching each other.
Yeah. And Pokemon chandeliers fighting against forearm dudes and Speedos. Yeah.
So I think we can. This is a good place to wrap it up for today, just on Pokemon, because I think overall, just as like a closing remark, I think this game's a lot of fun.
Yeah, I think it's probably a solid game.
If you haven't played a fighting game before and you were on the fence about buying Pokemon, which like I was. I mean, I only bought it because I have a Pokemon podcast and I'm like required to play it.
Yeah.
And so I am like into it, and I can't like, I want to sit downstairs right now. I want to go downstairs and I want to sit down, play Pokemon for another 4 hours and like main Blaziken and then come back up and be like, I'll take on Scrawn now. And this is me calling out Scrawn. And yeah, I don't know. So if you're on the fence, buy Pokemon.
I
would
have battled him yesterday, but like,
but yeah, any other closing remarks?
24 plus hours of sleep was not pretty.
Yeah. Anybody, any last comments from you guys?
I would say don't worry too much about it, like, surviving, because I think it'll get by fine.
Mm-hmm.
The tournament, like, set, like, seeing my, like, thin out first, but I mean, you'll still have people playing it, especially, like, online and everything. It'll survive. It's a Pokemon game. It's not going to just die on the spot. You know, it still has that property like pushing it. So it's definitely,
it's not just a fighting game with a Pokemon coat of paint, which is really nice. Yeah. It's definitely
it's its own thing.
It's its own thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So if you're interested, I would say dive into it because it'll be functional. I mean, for everybody, I wouldn't be worried about too much.
Yeah. Shami, you have anything you want to like wrap up with?
I don't really have anything now.
Okay.
I'm just kind of playing around with characters, just trying to get them opinions on them.
Yeah, alright, so I guess that's it. We're gonna take it on over to commercial break, guys, and then we will come right back at you guys with the Pokemon the episode. Catch ya on the flip-flop.
Hey, trying to run a local tournament, but it just doesn't feel official enough? Well, now your troubles are over. With the Hoot Spotlights, you can make any of your Pokemon tournaments feel official. Hoot Spotlights are a great way to make your events feel official. If you look over here, we can check out the grand finals of Pokken. My eyes! Wow, looks like he forfeited the match. Way to go, player!
Pokken the episode. And welcome back to our Pokemon of the episode. Our Pokemon of the episode this week is National Dex 654, Braixen, the fox Pokemon.
Pokedex, okay.
Yeah, Pokedex entry.
I was waiting for an introduction. It has a twig stuck in its tail. With friction from its tail fur, it sets the twig on fire and launches into battle. The wide one's pretty short, too. When the twig is plucked from its tail, friction sets the twig alight. The flame is used to send signals to its allies.
Boom.
And so,
There's nothing exciting. So Breaksin's in Pokin. That's why we did Breaksin, but we're going to talk all about Delphox. So
Pokin is literally, it has a stick.
It has a stick.
Yeah.
Delphox is all right competitively. It's in the rarely used tier in single battles. I've never seen it used in the double battles at all. Its stats aren't horrible. It's got a base speed of 104, which is actually pretty fast.
Yeah, that's good.
Its special defense is 100, and its special attack is 114, which isn't bad at all. I mean, it's not that bad. It's just its defense is awful, and its HP is not good. And its typing is actually not great either. And it gets Blazing Magician, and let me see. What's Magician do, Shamu? Do you know off the top of your head?
Oh, if you have no item, you'll take your opponent's item if you come in contact.
Oh, that's kind of cool, I guess. That's something.
I believe.
Thief. It's just a constant thief, so yeah. I think you just want Blaze anyway. And
pretty much. Unless you're running, like, Power Herb.
Yeah,
Power
there's Herb still... there's a couple sets you could run here, I think. I'm not too big into the RU tier. I need to get into like these lower tiers in single battles. Mm-hmm. I really need to get into them. But you have offensive Calm Mind, which is a set on Smogon, and you can run Fire Blast, Psychic, Calm Mind, and Grass Knot, and you just max out special attack, max out speed, because those are definitely its best traits. And you could run a Life Orb on top of that just to maximize damage. It's your basic like hitting people hard Pokemon, you know what I mean? It outspeeds a lot of things, though. Like, 104 lets it breaks outspeed a lot of things. It's just it's a Garchomp syndrome from Gen 4.
Garchomp syndrome.
Where it can just outrun everything just barely, so it's good.
Yeah. And it hits like a truck.
Yeah, exactly. And, I mean, I wouldn't say it's that great, but, you know, I need to get into RU so I can give you guys better ideas of what to run. And I mean, if you want to run an OU, I think this is the set you would want to run as well. These are the moves you want to run with. I mean, you could run Psyshock instead of Psychic, to hit things that are especially bulky. But other than that, I don't think there's too much. You do have access to, I believe, you get access to Shockwave. I don't think you get it to Thunderbolt though, and that which is an electric type move if you want to put that in. You could also run Choice Scarf Trick or something, but that's just I feel like that's more of an archetype and not like a set you can come up with for a particular Pokemon.
Yeah.
And
it's like saying you can just search Choice Specs.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And it does have its own move in Mystical Fire, but it's not worth running over Fire Blast because it's got a... there's a chant... Oh no, it automatically lowers the target special attack by one stage. So I mean, if you came up with a place where it could be a support mon instead of an attacker, you could definitely run that as something to lower special attack.
Or if you just want to be cute.
Yeah, I guess. To me, it doesn't seem worth running it over any other kind of fire type move.
Nah, I wouldn't say so.
You could run Flamethrower or Fire Blast and be much better. But in VGCs, people run Arcanine with Snarl. I mean, they did last year, not this year anymore, but they used to run Arcanine with Snarl.
But that also hits, both the opponents.
Yeah, that's both of the opponents, and you're not getting that with Mystical Fire, so... It's... Yeah. Yeah, pretty much. And its typing doesn't lend itself to be great either, I don't think. You get hit by Dark types, you get hit by Water types, you get hit by Ground types. You know, stuff like that. But, yeah. Sure.
Yeah.
Alright, so let's jump on into some TCG-ness. There are a couple Delphox cards, actually. There's a new Delphox break coming out in the next set, so I pulled that up, as well as the current Delphox EX that's in play. So the Delphox EX that's in play is not that great. For one fire energy, you can do Psybeam for 20 damage, and it automatically confuses your opponent. Oh, no, it doesn't automatically. You have to flip heads. You have to flip a coin still. And then for one fire energy and three colorless, you can do Wonder Flare, which is 80+. And so that does 80 damage plus 40 damage for each energy a card your opponent has in their hand, which in Pokemon, if you play competitive Pokemon, that's garbage because nobody holds energy in their hand. And yeah, so it's not a great card. The Delphox EX, however, which I need to look up, I believe, or the Delphox Break, I should say, not the Delphox EX, because I need to pull up actually the Delphox card that you would evolve it from. Let's see, so Delphox Break, however, it only has an ability, no attacks. It does Flare Witch. You do get a buff in the HP to 180 HP, which is just about as high as which is the same as the Delphox EX. So it does, its ability is Flare Witch, which once during your turn, you can search your deck for a fire energy and attach it to one of your Pokemon. So that's, I mean, that's good for energy moving, for moving energy around and pulling it from your deck. But Delphox Break, do remember, is essentially a stage 3 card, so it takes forever to get it going. There are a few Delphox cards you can pull. The newest one is from the Awakening King. I don't know if it's any good, though. It looks not good at all. Actually, this isn't too bad. It'd be a good one to actually couple with that Delphox Break, the new one that's coming with in the new next set. I forget what it's called in the U.S., what they're calling in the U.S., but in Japan, it has a much better name. Because
Fates Collide.
What? Fates Collide, which is cool by, like, American set names, but Scissor, I don't know how much you know about the TCG. So think Fates Collide. Like, that's the name of the set. Now, let me tell you what the set's called in Japan, and tell me which one of these is cooler. Awakening of the Psychic King.
Yo!
Right? Right? If you want to feel any better about these U.S. Trading card set names, yeah. The newest one that came out in the U.S. was called Breakpoint, and in Japan it was called Rage of the Broken Sky.
Oh, man, that sounds like... That sounds like something busted.
Right? Back to Delphox Break. The Delphox that comes out in Awakening of the Psychic King is actually not that bad. 140 HP. For one fire energy, you can do Flickering Flames for 40 damage, and it automatically puts your opponent to sleep. Which gives you time to set up for Psystorm, which is 20 times, which would actually work out well with the Delphox Break, which allows you to do 20 damage times the total number of energy attached to all Pokemon in play. Which, if you're pulling energy every turn from your deck to attach to another Pokemon, that's just all energies on the field at once. So that's not bad. 20 times, and you could have, like, I'd say 10 to 15 energy on the field at once, maybe. And that's an awesome move, I think. It's very much like the Yveltal's Shadow Ball or whatever, or the Y Ball, right? Is that what it's called, Shamu?
No.
Yveltal's, is it Y Ball?
Oh, it's the Evil Ball, I believe.
Evil Ball.
Yeah,
that's right.
I believe it's Evil Ball. Yeah.
Okay, I'm wrong.
Evil
I'm
Ball.
Wrong. All right, but yeah, it's really cool. Is there any cool trivia on Delphox? I can't give you. I cannot
I would
advise.
Say no, but I.
Is it based on a witch?
I can't either.
I mean, possibly.
No, totally not.
Well, I guess Braixen is what we were supposed to be talking about today. But
Braixen is the only Pokemon with a base stat total of 409.
That's good to know.
Just like the cleaner, you know. evolutionary relatives share their category with Vulpix and Ninetales. They are all known as the fox Pokemon.
Yeah, there are foxes. That is a true statement.
Let's see.
Shiny Braixen actually doesn't look bad, though. I'll give him that. Like,
oh, is that the purple one?
Yeah, the purple one. That's not bad. I mean, there are such things as bad shinies, and most Pokemon have them.
Yeah,
and so this is not one of them.
No, what was shiny, Enchilada. Quilladin.
What?
Quilladin? He's just, like, brown.
He's just brown? Okay.
I think he's just brown.
Oh, okay.
Wait, Quilladin? Quilladin's like a reddish mahogany color.
Yeah, reddish mahogany brown.
Oh, okay, that makes sense. Shiny Enchilada.
Shiny Enchilada. I think he's an enchilada.
No, because I was thinking chinchilla for some reason, because he kind of reminds me of one. But then...
I mean, I think that's what he's supposed to be. I think he's supposed to be a chinchilla.
But I don't know where enchilada came from, though.
All right, so that's it for the Pokemon the episode today, guys. As always, if you want to learn more about Pokemon, you can check out PucklePodcast.com. We have tons of articles written by a wonderful staff. We have Whimsicott and Snag doing weekly opinion articles. We have Scrawn writing Pokemon Origins articles. We have Jushiro writing TCG articles, Sublime writing VGC articles, Viger updating us with the news, and Locke writing interviews. And is there anybody else I'm missing? Mickey Panda doing anime synopses. And Basket doing a comic.
Watching in the background.
Yep.
Watching from the shadows.
And that is it. So check those out. And so we're going to kick it on over to the mailbag.
It's mail time. It's time for the mailbag. Send in your emails. The mail's here. Check your inbox. It's time for the mailbag.
And on to the mailbag. Our mailbag, as always, is brought to you by the energy drink Green Tauros, the energy drink that gives you hooves. And as and as always, for those of you who are new to the show, I should say, the mailbag is where we read fan emails sent to us answering a question that we brought in. This week's going to be a little bit different. We aren't going to be able to get to everybody's emails this week, so I apologize in advance if we do not read your email. I will, however, I think, post them as an article on the website saying these are the emails that just didn't make it into the show. That way you guys aren't feeling like you didn't make it into, you know, like I didn't notice it. I read all of these emails. I want to make that 100% certain. So before we begin, though, our question last week is, what are some things you do not want to see returning in Pokemon Sun and Moon? So let's jump right on in. I'm going to grab this first one, I believe, from Savvy. I think she's the one with the hedgehog. She really likes hedgehogs. Mm. So let's see. Thatch and co-host, before I say anything, I had to tell you that in the last episode, I burst out laughing. This mailbag is brought to you by Hooves. I am running this as your episode is playing, by the way. I had not even heard the mailbag yet because I had to tell you I laughed so hard at my desk at work that my coworkers asked what was so funny. It was so awkward saying inside joke because it's so much easier than explaining what Green Tauros is. As for your mailbag changes, I completely understand. If anyone doesn't, I suggest they go run their own podcast for years and years and gain hundreds of followers and try to read all of the mail by themselves every week. Insert Kappa face. Twitch viewers will understand this reference. You guys are growing in popularity. Maybe just an idea so no one gets left out. You can post a template online for that everyone will fill out. Yeah, maybe. I like getting good emails. It will limit the characters in each box, introduction, mailbag, sign out. I think that way mailbags can be shorter and you can include everyone. Just an idea, though. The templated emails can go in a new email address you guys can make and leave this email to send in free untemplated emails that will be read but not on the podcast itself. So out of respect for your time, I'll keep this short mailbag. I'm not too picky, so there's nothing that I'm hoping that is excluded, but I do hope they keep the Wonder Trades, Battle Spots, and me, etc. available. I also would love if, like, HeartGold, SoulSilver, Pokemon followed us around again. If that keeps happening, if people keep mentioning that, I'm going to lose my mind. Thanks for your hard work, yeah. As always. I appreciate you. I would love to go on Patreon, but honestly, I live paycheck to paycheck, and there are literally some weeks where it would come down to me eating or donating. Then don't donate.
Donate. Just keep yourself alive.
Keep sustaining, like, your life force, you know?
Yeah.
I'm a big fan of, like, I appreciate the sentiment, but I will say 100%, anytime if you guys are thinking about donating, and it comes down between donating and eating food,
yeah,
eat food.
Now there's a paper trail, so really you should eat and don't die because they're going to come after us if they find your dead body.
That's true. I hope you all understand, once I am on my feet better and not just an entry-level job teenager, I want to jump out onto Patreon with a $10 monthly donation. You guys make my day when you read my emails, and I love hearing you. I appreciate your work. I don't need to pay to listen to during these hard financial times. I do intend to pay you back when able. Thanks again for what you do. Hedgehog kisses and Sylveon wishes. Savvy. I just like messed that up entirely. But no.
You had like a stroke when you were trying to read that.
Yeah, right? No, if you just like if it's the difference between eating and, like, donating, like, I'm not... We use all this money, first of all, to go back into the community. It all goes back into the community.
Yeah.
We do not keep any of it. I think that it should be made very clear. We don't keep any of the money that anybody gives us on for the Patreon.
Yeah, or so you just cut out the middle, man.
We just pay for everything. We just use it to pay for the website. We use it to... Yeah. We just purchased a couple of microphones for people who needed it. To increase show quality, and we're using it to buy the plushes for the PFTT tournament as well. I mean, it's great that we have enough money coming from our fan base to be able to support things like that. You know what I mean? And it's very helpful. That way, it just feels like it's a more of a community thing than anything else. So who wants this next one? I believe it is from the Pokeball Man or the Sentient Pokeball.
The Sentient Pokeball. Let's see.
Yeah. It's right above Savvy, so it's the second star.
Okay, CG. Real quick, before we get to this, did you guys go over which things you didn't want to return last week?
We did. That was what we did last week.
Okay. I just want to say, I hope that Machamp doesn't return. I hope that baby Pokemon doesn't return. I hope that Kalos doesn't return. No, actually, Kalos is a cool region.
Kalos is a pretty cool region.
Yeah. I hope Mega Evolutions don't return.
All right.
You know what I hope does return, though? Like, proper evolutions for, like, Pokemon that need them.
Yeah, right? Well, they're just going to get Megas now. You're going to get Mega Dunsparce.
Yeah, Mega Dunsparce. Yeah, Mega Dunsparce, and then, like, give us some real evolutions again, just tone down the Megas. But anyway.
Yeah, get this next one. Get this next one from the sentient Pokeball Scissor.
God, back in my day, all these emails used to be short. let's see. A wild fletchling appears. After lowering its HP, you reach into your bag for a Pokeball to attempt to capture it. But suddenly, you hear a voice coming from that very same ball. Did you somehow catch the Meowth from the anime and accidentally put it in your bag? Or did you maybe have a few too many berry juices last night? No, silly trainer, you merely stumbled upon the only sentient Pokeball. That's right, due to a mix-up at the Kalos Pokeball Factory, one of their thousands of Pokeballs has been infused with life and has achieved sentience. After a moment of stunned silence, you toss the Pokeball away, thinking that it was all in your mind. But wait, due to the hilariously stupid capture mechanics of Gen 6, when you toss the Pokeball, it accidentally captured the cover legendary of the game, which gives me an excellent segue into the mailbag for this week. These are a few features that I would not like to see in Sun and Moon. First, I would like if you weren't forced to capture the cover legendary in order to beat the game, which has been the focus of the series since Ruby and Sapphire. It was cool the first couple of times, but now the evil team is trying to use the power of the legendary story has been retold more times than Thatch's story about tricking a choice scarf onto a Ferrothorn.
I only told that story like once. Or twice.
Here he goes again. plus these days. Plus
let me tell you that story.
Just to prove that point, let me tell the story. and you will see that you do not recognize it. Plus these days you can easily capture said legendary even a Pokeball, and I would rather they bring back the difficulty of trying to capture these supposedly legendary beings. Imagine a legendary Pokemon doesn't actually want to be caught and forced into battle by some random kid. So two, less handholding. I actually agree with this. Less handholding in general would be much appreciated. I'm by no means a Gen 1-er, but after replaying Blue on the Virtual Console, there's something to be said about the original game's simplicity. I'm not saying that there should be an overarching plot to progress you forward, but instead of telling me where to go every step of the way, make me explore like I had to do in previous games in the series and figure things out for myself. I know this is a children's game, but if I could play Pokemon Blue as an 11-year-old and figure out everything on my own, I think today's kids can do the same. Three, quadruple battles. For reasons that I think are all too clear, give me another feature that was as cool as an inverse battles were. Wait, I got it. Tripped up. Cool as inverse battles were, or just some new kind of battle that involves more than throw Pokemon out at once, or throw more Pokemon out at once. Pokeballs that can, and four Pokemons that can achieve sentience. I don't know if you're gonna get that one, but I mean,
keep trying.
Yeah. As one last aside, this is my first mailbag, even though I've listened to the show for about 6 months now. I really hope that the fluffiest Whimsicott is forced to read this email because it's so long. Cue with someone saying they always think the emails are too long.
This wasn't that bad.
That's, yeah,
I mean, you did make a comment at the beginning. Maybe it made him feel good, you know, that he thought that you
also,
thought the email.
Also, was. I just want to say, Fluffiest had, like, back whenever I was completely
yes.
on the show, Fluffiest always had the longest emails. She has no room to complain whatsoever about who has long emails.
she did. She wrote the longest one.
No, we would literally be like before the show started, like, be like, oh man, here's the Whimsicott email. Who's got this one? to finish, I decided that I would finally send something in and start participating in the community. Maybe even join a tournament sometime when I have time to actually put a team together. Well, that's all, and catch you on the flip-flop, because flip-flops are too mainstream. Sentient Pokeball, P.S. I hope you enjoy my indents. Sent from my iPhone. Actually, yes, I did enjoy your indents. I mean, it was a lot easier to read. It wasn't a big block of text.
Yeah, no. Somebody sent in a block of text last week without any punctuation.
I love those.
Yeah. You want to get this next one from Breeder God. Matt, Shamu?
Yeah, I'll take it.
That's a short one.
Dear Puckle Crew, holy hound doom. Man, I haven't sent y'all an email since, I think middle school? Well, bit of an update. I graduated high school, and I work at a board game store now. Geez, I think the last email I sent was talking about how excited I was for Super Smash Bros. Brawl. Anywho, I recently got back into Pokemon and actually bought X today. Oi, don't you be judging me. As for what I don't want to see in Sun and Moon, I hope those rumors that they're removing EVs and IVs from the game are false. The reason is just enough like Nintendo.
They will never get rid of them.
That's not my poor training. No, that's a game.
That's like that's the core of their series competitively.
Yeah.
They can't get rid of that.
Yeah,
like last time when they added EVs in.
EVs always existed. EVs always existed.
Or was it Ivy or whatever? When they,
no, no.
When they
all these things, all of these things existed. Just in Gen 1 and 2, they were in a different form.
Yeah, exactly. When they changed how they functioned, they broke it to where you couldn't even move your Pokemon to different generations. So yeah. And I don't think they want to go through that again anyway. So
yeah.
Like for multiple reasons, they're not going to remove those.
Mm-hmm. Keep going, Shami.
I'm a breeder, man. What am I supposed to do? Legitimately play the game and accomplish things? All jokes aside, I will say that it's so good to hear that all of y'all have been doing so well since I last listened. Expect more emails from me, from the beautiful Minnesota breeder man. P.S. if you don't really remember.
I remember him. I don't remember him as Breeder Matt. I remember him as something else entirely.
Oh.
Was
this block text guy?
No, his name, no. This was, I believe we went by Frenchie on the website. Yeah, I'm gonna grab this next one from.
Oh, I remember.
Oh, look at this guy sneaking into the DMs.
No. I'm gonna read this next one from Elemental AU because I want to make sure we get to it today.
Okay.
Sup Thatch names Element AU new to the community. I love how you guys really just have fun with the fandom. Enjoyed the last chat this month. From what I want in the new game. If it's based on Hawaii, I'd like unique mini games like surfing contests and races with your Pokemon, eating contests, or even limbo contests. Yes, limbo contest. I'm actually doing some research for Pokemon, and I'm going to Hawaii in like 3 months from now. So, that's not true. I'm just going to Hawaii.
Okay.
It'd be great.
Hawaii. I figured the other part was false. I was more ooh at the Hawaii part, and I'm like, oh my god, that's just gonna go study. It's Tortugas. I've been away for too long, guys. My filter's away.
It'd be great to read them for that, just like Pokemon contest. Never really gotten to those myself. What I don't want are useless rivals. I want a rival who's always challenging you, like Gary was in Red or Blue, even up to the Pokemon League. I haven't played the most recent games, but the rivals seem more like side characters instead of legitimate challenges. Anyways, keep doing what you're doing. It's really cool. Element AU. Okay, so Scissor, you can get this one from Cleary.
From Cleary. Oh man, this is all too.
What were you saying, Shamu?
I want to say something real. Mm-hmm. I was gonna say. I think he. I don't know if it's purposeful, but he might be one to be called Element Gold because that's what AU is.
Oh, maybe. I don't know.
Oh, okay.
But if that's like the gold symbol, it shouldn't be both capital letters. It should be a capital A and a lowercase U.
Yeah, you never know, though. I just think Element...
I mean, it's clever if that's true, but it was just poorly implemented.
Yeah, oh, Patch, don't forget to bleep out my expletive.
Of course, I already had the time written down. all right,
I didn't even catch it.
Okay, good.
You get this next one from Matthew Cleary.
I'm a little rusty, guys. all right.
The next one from Cleary here. Scissor. I did this on purpose.
For my old bud Cleary. All right. Oh, man, I got this one down. Hang on. All right. From Matt Cleary. You know what I'm getting real sick of? Pokemon and Pokemon games. Maybe we could use something else like, I don't know, food? A food fight? You know what? Never mind. Terrible idea. But no, in all seriousness, HMs, we all know, using all loosely, I hate them, and I'm sure they were like, four other emails with the same stance on them. I'd happily take a mini bike helicopter thing over riding my poor pigeon from town to town. Here's to hoping that says Pidgey on again. Nah, man, you couldn't get that.
I can't do it again. I'm too self-conscious.
He's too scared of it now. He doesn't say the word pigeon anymore.
I can't even say like, Pidgey on.
He just says, like, New York native bird now. never again. Sure, they may put the move deleter out of a job, but it's giving Pokemon Amnesia really a job? Don't think so. Apparently it is. Anyways, how have you guys been? Enjoying Pokken Fighters Tournament, UFC, Boxing, Punch-Out Madness? I sure haven't because I'm not Shofu, the esteemed Pokemon YouTuber. With hashtag free early product. This is also assuming you guys have already gone to the store, bought the game, gone home, installed it, and have played some ranked matches. But Thatch said that he was gathering a group of co-hosts that were well-suited for this topic, so I can only assume you have. As far as my take on the game, I'm extremely excited and hyped for the release. I'm torn on who to main at the moment. It's a close tie between Gengar and Charizard, and I'm sure you guys have already discussed it, but if not, which Pokemon do you guys instantly fall in love with Pokken Fighters? Wait, when Pokken Fighters were being announced? God, I'm getting all tripped up. good to see you guys in full stride. Keep up the great work, Cleary. Doesn't need to be read on show. Oh.
Oh, he wants my Wii U info.
Also, care to go toe to toe with me? Yep.
All right. Thanks,
also, he included an image of Food Fight on DVD.
Shamu, you can get this next one from Mariachi.
Oh, I gotta find this one. No, it's not that one. Which one? Is it this one? This is it. Okay.
Yeah.
I couldn't find it. Hola, my name on the site is Mariachi, and news of the community. I joined the chat meetup on the 14th. I wasn't able to stay long. Mondays are yoga class days. Worships the sun. But I wanted to say that I had fun talking to other site members, and I immediately felt welcomed. I hope to join another meetup. For the mailbag,
there is one on Friday, the 25th.
Oh, yeah. Friday, right?
Friday the 25th.
All right.
It's happening. 25th of March, by the way, if anybody's like listening to this like a month from now.
Yeah. 2016.
Not the 25th of every month.
Yeah, right.
2016, in case you're listening to like 10 years later, just in case.
Well, no, I've legitimately had somebody like show up to the chat like a month afterwards, like after I set a date, because they listened to the episode and thought I was like referencing that month. I'm like, did you not look when the episode was posted?
Like, well, no, episode was, you know.
The episode came out like 4 months ago, but whatever.
You said the 25th, man.
What do you mean I can't sign up for the UUTC in like January or in July, you know?
And, oh yeah.
But it's too late to pre-order X and Y. You said it's coming out on the 12th.
Oh man. Okay, keep going, Jimmy. Right. I'm sorry.
For the mailbag, I honestly hope they remove the end of the world plot trend from recent games. I just want to ride my bicycle, be the best there ever was, and learn how to breed an army without some crazy god Pokemon threatening to destroy the world. I guess it's standard fare for an RPG to involve some kind of cataclysm, but I think the Poke World could use a break.
That's true.
Thank you for the site, podcast, and hard work, amigos. Mariachi. P.S. The TCG cast is awesome. Hope those guys keep it up.
Boom.
Yeah.
Alright.
The Pokemon world has seen an unprecedented amount of disasters on a regular basis, it seems.
That's true. That's a true statement. All right.
Yeah, I really like if they were just like, you know, trying to become like a gym leader or something like that. Just anything besides like the standard, you know, stop the disaster, get the badges,
right?
You know.
Yeah.
Something different.
All right. So this next one is from Youngster Soul. Let's see here then. Hey ho, Thatch and Co. Youngster Soul is here again. I'll get to it quick, okay? I would like to say that I do not want returning for Pokemon Sumo is an electric gym leader. See, he's the correct acronym. For Pokemon Sun and Moon, he did not call it Pokemon Nyeh. Isn't like shocking, right? He's back on the electric gym leader. Lieutenant Surge, Watson, Volkner, Eliza, Clement. What do these guys have in common besides having some of the biggest stretches to make electric puns in their names? Electric Pokemon. 5 electric gyms. Are you kidding me? I like electric types, but you face one of the battery acid-induced lunatics in every game. And the only one I enjoyed facing was Elisa? How do you say that? Elisa?
Elisa,
yeah.
Yeah. If we have Elsa. Even one of the electric specialists, Elite Four included, I'm going to flip out. Peace, Youngster Soul. That's true. That's true.
I'm going to electrify, I don't know.
You want to get this one from...
I need like a dark gym.
That's true. You want to get this one from Jedi DJ Scissor Kick? It's at the top. It's in the top 3.
Top three, hang on.
That are starred?
Top three. Youngster Jedi.
Or Jedi DJ.
Four, technically, I think.
Yeah, it's the fourth one.
I see him. There we go. All right. Greetings from Florida. I have been busy in the world of Pokemon this past week. Thank you, Thatch, for my new Ditto. I have been reading my first batch of Perfect Pokemon in preparation for the Summer League. This is my first step into the competitive world of Pokemon, but is there another tournament before the summer?
The answer is yes, but it starts tomorrow.
Yeah, it's the, tomorrow. Not tomorrow as in tomorrow of, like, July.
It's March. It starts March 21st, 2016. It's the Prepare for Trouble tournament. It's our annual VGC-style tournament.
Yes.
So that starts tomorrow.
If you're really quick...
if you're really quick and like a ninja, you can get in.
Quick like an electric gym leader, you know, you might get in. Sneak on in.
Is your name Watson?
Koga.
Is your name Watson?
Like Koga?
Koga.
Roundhouse kicking weed.
Oh my gosh, let's not even go back to that. Oh man.
Koga. For the mailbag, I would really like to see a quest journal. I would like to see the journal system to tell you where you went, where you were. Where you are and where you are going. I think that is important for two reasons. One, if you put the game down for a few weeks, first off, that's your fault if you're putting the game down for a few weeks. I don't want to hear it. it can be very hard to remember what you were doing. Two, I cannot count the times that I accidentally click through a conversation only to realize that I just missed where I'm supposed to be going next. This part of the game could really use some work. I don't want to rely on internet guides to find the next city.
That's actually... They had that in a few games. I think it was
they did
in...
That.
Fourth gen?
Fire Red was the first one.
And it was annoying as... Oh.
Yeah, it was pretty annoying every time you booted up.
Yeah, if you disappeared for, like, a few days, all of a sudden you have to like, just master, like, 50 pages of, like, you did this and this and this, and then you lost to the Pokemon League. it was kind of neat for, like, a novelty, but then you got old past. Mm-hmm. Another thing I would like to see is a nice variety of starter Pokemon. I would like to see a cute one, a fearsome one, and perhaps a funny one. I don't want them to all be cute or all funny. Some variety and style would be nice. Anyways, thanks for reading my mail. May the Force be with you, Jedi DJ.
Boom.
Who's funny of the starters? I can't think of a funny starter.
I can't either.
I mean, I get Oshawott. I don't know.
Oshawott maybe. But the thing is, like, when you get to I feel like the progression is like okay. So if you want he said funny, cute, and fierce, right? I think you get funny and cute at like stage one, like when they're
one
the basics.
Two, kind of.
Yeah, and then two, they just it's like growing up, and like then they get pretty fierce at the end. You know what I mean? Like Greninja, Chestnut, and Delphox don't look like Fennekin, Froakie, and Chespin. You know what I mean?
I feel like Gen 5.
That's like all derpy. Then you got like Meganium, just like they're smiling and like waving back and forth. And,
yeah.
Like...
I mean, I like Meganium Pine. I think Gen 5 had those down. I mean, you had Snivy, who was cool. You had Oshawott, who was cute. And then you had Tepig, who was hilariously bad. I hate that line so much.
It's so bad. It is.
It's so bad. Oh, like, Emboar and Pig Knight are just ugly as hell. Not bad.
All right, so that's it from Jedi DJ. So you want to get this next one from 10 Little Men, Shamu?
Yep, I'll get it. Yo ho, Puckle Crew, 10 Little Men writing in to answer this week's mailbag. But first, congratulations are in order. I would like to say congrats to Puckle on their overwhelming success with some mailbag submissions. Truly, Puckle has one of the greatest communities on the planet. I would also like to wish our eighth dictator, the Thatch, a happy birthday. Hope you had a good one.
That's true. It was my birthday.
Nothing to say about that?
It was all right. I mean, I went and got a chimichanga last night to celebrate. I mean, I wanted the chimichanga, and so I got one. I also had some other liquids, some beverages that I enjoyed.
Some lemonade, you know?
some lemonade. It was
restored 80% of your HP or 80.
Something like that, right?
And he got a little woozy because he drank too much lemonade.
Yeah, I was like the guy who needed his coffee in Viridian City, you know?
Yeah, that guy. He just needed his coffee.
He just needed his coffee.
I'm glad we got localized Thatch and not off the chain, you know, Japanese Thatch.
Keep going, Shamu.
All right. Well, time is precious, so I'll quit dallying and enter the mailbag. The features I definitely wouldn't like to see in Sun and Moon... they do need new acronyms, but yes. They're replacing all the turn-based action with FPS quick time events and replacing the Pokemon with nice cars. Oh, you meant feature that may actually be implemented? In that case, I would hate if the game was as slow as Diamond and Pearl.
That would make sense.
Sing their praises all you like. They aren't going any faster.
No, they were pretty slow-paced.
Yeah, the painful crawl, yeah, they were. It wasn't bad, yeah. It was kind of just felt more like a journey, I guess. I don't know.
It felt more journey because it took forever.
Well, X and Y is weird because it slogs on in the middle, like, between, like, there's, like, a huge stretch between, like, I think, like, the second and third or fourth gym.
I'm a big fan of having, okay, so I know a lot of people probably hate this, but I'm a big fan of having to, like, go back to areas.
Yeah, I like that. Yeah, I like that, too.
I really like that, and Diamond and Pearl had a lot of that.
Mm-hmm.
You had to go back and forth between areas a lot.
Diamond and Pearl, and that was, like, the first one to really do that a lot since, like, Gen 2, really.
Gen 2 didn't even do it that much, you know what I mean?
You
had to go back to Goldenrod to go face off against Team Rocket, but that was about it.
Well, Goldenrod, and then we had to go back and forth.
Through
like,
Ecruteak,
Sienflick,
because of the way that... I like... Johto had a really cool region design.
Yeah, I like the central... Like Ecruteak's, like, the center of the region. Mm-hmm. Like, it's a good city, yeah.
Yeah.
Alright. Where am I? The painful crawling pace of the depleting health bars, dirt slow movement speeds, and snail pace back scrolling were awful. I hope the game had fast-paced menus like Gen 3 instead. I also really hope that they buff some of the old unviable Pokemon like Fearow. Seriously, it's not even viable in PU. Sorry if this went on a little too long. To make it up to you, here's 20 brown 50 cal flip-flops. 10 little men, no scoping away.
Oh, man.
No scope. All right, so I think there's another one that we picked out. Let's see. All right, so we got one more from Winmore, actually, because he had a question we wanted to address. Hey, y'all, I'll keep it short and sweet due to the current situation about the overflowing mailbag. First off, I want to congratulate my UUTC finals opponent, Gio, for a great match that came down to the wire. Congrats, man. As for the mailbag question, I've been thinking about what I don't want, and that usually turns into me thinking of all the things I do want for a game. I really like the structure of the game, so if they maintain things like the way they are, I'd be perfectly happy. One thing I definitely don't want for the upcoming game is having it to be too easy of a time advancing through the game. I don't want to easily roll over my opponents, which I felt was slightly a problem in X and Y. P.S. I was looking at the Gen 7 games on Amazon, and it said available December 30th. Or probably 31st is what it says on Amazon.
Yeah, that's like a placeholder.
Yeah, it's just a placeholder. So I guess we have an official date for the game's release? No, not at all. I'm telling you right now, I'm calling it. I know somebody's going to be like, hashtag Thatch was wrong when we actually get the release date. But I'm saying it's going to either come out the 18th, or no, wait, oops, wrong month.
You're being specific.
No, I'm going to say the 18th or 19th of November.
Mm-hmm.
Because that is right before Black Friday in the United States. So
yeah, that makes sense. Yeah, and they've been like, they can also do October, but I feel like they probably need more time.
I think they need more time, and I think it's going to be down to the wire in November,
because,
just like
X and Y came out in October when they launched. However, we had also seen like footage of it in like January or something.
Yeah, we had the starters released in January and stuff, and I just don't see that happening again.
Yeah, and with, Omega Ruby and Alpha Sapphire, which came out in November, like they very similar to this. They were announced with like nothing but like a title.
Mm-hmm. But to be fair, between the announcement and them coming out, it was roughly about, I would say, 6 months.
Mm-hmm.
And so it could be October. I mean,
it could be.
I will say the latest they will come out will be the 18th or 19th of November.
They're not coming out in December. Yeah, nothing is coming out after Black Friday.
They will not come out after Black Friday. That is 100% true.
Yeah.
And because they just want people to go and buy it on Black Friday.
Does anyone else remember when before Ruby and Sapphire, Omega Ruby and Alpha Sapphire, they released like proof Facebook footage, like first footage of Ruby and Sapphire, and it's literally just Kyogre and Groudon just standing in place.
Yes, I remember that.
That was so stupid. It was like, guys, this game's real. Believe in us.
I do remember.
So yeah,
that.
Now we're just waiting for the Groudon to drop.
We know nothing about Sun and Moon, but we will be getting more information next month.
Yeah, because Korokoro, aren't they supposed to get information?
Yeah, Korokoro said that they were going to drop something, so okay. we will definitely get something. I think that's all the time we have for mail
today.
Go Shamu.
I think we're probably fit to cover Mons, I feel.
We'll either get Covermons, or we'll get...
Or starters.
Or starters next month, I think.
Yeah.
I don't know if we'll get starters.
Or we'll get Go-Go.
Maybe. Well, they traditionally get Go-Go starters pretty early.
I hope we get Go-Go.
Or like the analog for like Zoroark and like Riolu, if they want to do that again. Yeah.
I can see that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's sometimes like a pseudo-covered Pokemon that they reveal early on.
That's true.
Like a mascot of the region.
Yeah, like a mascot of the region, not necessarily like a cover arc, but, you know. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I can see you doing that.
All right, so that's all the time we have for the mailbag today, guys. If your email was not read, as I said, I will find a way to make sure that you guys can be read by the community. As we had to make these like cuts because I can't keep doing 45-minute mailbags. So thanks to everybody who did send in an email, even if it wasn't read. It's very much appreciated. I like reading them all. So if you would like to, though, to send in an email, we have a mailbag question this week. The mailbag question is, who are you maining in Pokken? So send that in to PucklePodcast@gmail.com, and we will...
Oh, did we ever answer that? We never answered that question.
We never answered it. You can answer it next week. Send me an email. Send me an email.
Send me an email, Shane. Send me an email.
What's that?
Send me an email. Send me a Skype message. I don't care. You can send that into PucklePodcast@gmail.com. Also, if you just want to like introduce yourself into the community or something, PucklePodcast@gmail.com. Send those in. And I think that covers everything, right? We're good. I need to do the social media spiel. If you haven't already and you want some more Puckle in your life, you can check out all of Puckle on all of social media. We are on the Twitters at Puckle Podcast. You can follow us on Tumblr, pucklepodcast.tumblr.com. You can subscribe to our subreddit, which is reddit.com/r/puckle. And you can also follow us on like us on Facebook, facebook.com/pucklepodcast. We actually do some giveaways on Twitter and stuff, and now we're going to be doing more because I think there are a few people. I didn't get to Brissinger's email today, but Brissinger was very awesome, and I would like to thank him for offering to donate stuff as well. He does have some things interesting said, so I will put those on the website at some point. Probably a day after the podcast is out, these emails will go up on the website. And let's see. Also, if you could take the time, please go to iTunes and review us there. That helps more people find us, and it's really important if we want to grow. You can also, if you have some extra money jingling around in your pocket, some expendable income per se, and you aren't starving.
If we mean expendable, not like life money.
Yeah.
And don't give us your food money, please.
Please don't give us your food money. You can check out patreon.com/pucklepodcast where we have hosts of rewards. We will be adding some new stretch goals because it was a much better turnout than I thought. And for as little as $1 a month, you can come and check out these live shows that we do every month. We did one of them yesterday. It's a lot of fun. People get together. They get to talk to us. And it's a good time. And if you don't donate, we are not forgetting you. Those live shows will get put out onto the feed about 3 weeks after they're recorded. So you can check those out. But if you want to be there in the flesh and be able to ask us questions, you come to that. You pay the money and you come and visit. So, yep. That's all we have for this week, I guess.
I feel like that last live...
That was your fault.
That was my fault, totally. But that was great.
So... until next time, I'm Trainer Thatch.
I am Scissor King.
I'm Shamu.
And here in the Lavender Town Radio Tower, it's closing time.
Flip side. Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.